Please turn with me to Psalm 150. One final look at the Psalter. And as I said last week, one almost wants to just simply do as we do on the Sunday evening Bible, instead of Sunday evening prayer group, but evening prayer, and just turn right around and start over at Psalm 1 and go back through again. Just so you'll know our schedule, next Wednesday night, Richard Bennett is going to be making a presentation to you on the papacy and Islam. You might have thought that the papacy, considering itself to be the defender of the one true church, would have a lot of negative things to say about Islam. Oh, no. And so you will see something of this unholy alliance next week when you come on Wednesday night. Then the week after that is Holy Week, and we will be not meeting for Wednesday night, but instead meeting for Friday night for Good Friday lessons by candlelight. And then the following Wednesday night, which I think is the 23rd of April, we will begin the study of the Book of Job. So let's look together tonight at Psalm 150. It is a wonderful and fitting way to end the Psalter. It is very similar to the four Psalms that go before it. This is the last Hallel, the last series of praises in the Psalter. And the Psalm says, praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in His mighty heavens. There's just a little bit of difference in each one of these couplets. When it says praise God in His sanctuary and then praise Him in His mighty heavens, what's the distinction that you see there?
One is on earth and one is in heaven.
One is on earth and one is in heaven, yes. In other words, we're commanded to praise God in His sanctuary, which is that which is located on earth. But we're also to join with the angels in heaven who praise Him day and night before the throne, praise Him in His mighty heavens. Now, at the present time, we have no definite earthly sanctuary. Jerusalem is not our sanctuary. The Vatican is not our sanctuary. Waco is not our sanctuary. We have no definite sanctuary in terms of a physical place. But instead, what does the Bible refer to in the New Testament as the sanctuary or the temple at the present time?
God is in heaven.
He is in and with His people, and His people are called a temple of the Holy Spirit and the dwelling place of God. If you look at the end of Ephesians chapter 2, it speaks of how we have been built together. Remember that it says in verse 19 of Ephesians 2, so then you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone. And you can see there the truth of what Tom Wells, who will be here in May, teaches about this passage. This building has no basement. Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in Him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Let me show you one other instance in the writings of the Apostle Paul, though there are many. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, many of you know the verse, verse 14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness, what accord has Christ with Belial, or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever, what agreement has the temple of God with idols, for we are the temple of the living God, as God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, that I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Here is language that was used in Leviticus of the Jews, of Israel. And here it's applied to the church. I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them and be their God. And Paul says, we're the temple of the living God. So, wherever Christians gather together is to be a place of praise. This is a command for those who know the Lord to praise Him. Praise the Savior, ye who know it. Praise God in His sanctuary. We translate that not just at the chapel where we meet on Sundays and Wednesday nights, but we translate that anywhere believers gather, anywhere believers are together. There is part of the temple of God, His sanctuary. And then we're commanded to praise Him in His mighty heavens. So again, you have something similar that was going as what we saw in Psalm 149. He's to be praised from the heavens and in the heights and by His angels. He's also to be praised from the earth, as deep down as the great sea creatures are in the depths of the ocean. Then in verse 2, it says, praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. What's the difference there between the two ideas?
It has to do with His acts, and the other with His very being, His nature.
Yes, it has to do with His acts or His very being. And those two things are somewhat different. We can very much appreciate the things that someone does, but we may not like them as a person all that much. I don't know if you've ever been in that kind of dichotomy or not. You may have great admiration for the things that a person has actually accomplished, but as far as that person in himself, you perhaps do not care for him or her at all. However, in the case of the Lord, His mighty deeds have come out of His character. They have been part of His character. They're manifestations of His character. But still, we as Christians need to learn this distinction in praise. Because, of course, it's one thing to praise the Lord for what He's done for us, isn't it? And yet it's another thing to praise the Lord simply for who He is. Simply for who He is. Those of you young couples who have endured marriage counseling from me, and I've been in this church so long that now you're approaching middle age, but in any event, you may remember that one of the things that I always ask is for you to tell me, or the betrothed person to tell me, what's so great about the one that they're engaged to. And do you remember I put you under a little handicap? I say, you've got to tell me what's so wonderful about your future husband, or what's so wonderful about your future wife, and you must not mention yourself. You must not use the first person pronoun, I or me. You can't say, he makes me laugh. You've got to just simply tell me in and of himself what's so wonderful about it. In and of herself, what's so wonderful about her. And the reason is that you're going to make a vow for better or for worse, and if worse comes, if your spouse breaks her neck, or he is permanently incapacitated, or loses his mind, you've got to believe that this person is so worthwhile that you're going to love that person and take care of that person forever, even though that person can't do anything for you. Now, obviously, God does do things for us, but I'm just trying to make the distinction here between praising Him for His mighty acts, for which we have benefited or at least known about, and to praise Him simply for His excellent greatness. How great He is. How great He is. Have any of you ever thought, when you're in the depths of sin and you wonder, as you're repenting, if you're even a Christian at all, have you ever thought, Father, even though I may not be a Christian, even though I may not know You, You are perfect, You are wonderful, You are able, You are worthy to be praised. If I go to hell, I'll still praise You. You ever thought that? Well, brothers and sisters, of course, that means you won't go to hell. It means that you are saved, to have that kind of love and ardor for the Lord. But it simply means that you're praising Him simply for His character, for His attributes, for His holiness, His faithfulness, His omniscience, His omnipotence, His sovereignty, His mercy. You're simply praising Him for His excellent greatness. And then we have a series of instruments here. Praise Him with trumpet sound. The trumpet there is the shofar, the ram's horn that was used at feasts, used to sound the beginning of the year of Jubilee. After 49 years, the 50th year was the year that slaves were set free, and liberty was proclaimed. I ought to be sounding a shofar in Baghdad sometime this week. Praise Him with trumpet sound, praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. So far we might agree with all of those instruments. We might even agree that under certain circumstances it might be right to dance before the Lord. But it really gets strange in verse 5. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Two different size cymbals are called for there. The smaller cymbals are like castanets, and the bigger ones are the kind that crash together. So let's just ask some questions here. Why are we to praise the Lord? Because of who He is and what He's done. And with what are we to praise the Lord? Obviously, everything we've got. Everything we've got. Amen. And at what volume are we to praise the Lord? Yes, loud clashing cymbals. Sometimes this is permissible. Sometimes this is permissible because I defy you to listen to a soft, sedate version of the Hallelujah Chorus. You ever go to a concert where they do a soft, sedate, polite version of the Hallelujah Chorus, you should demand your money back. It should sound loud and it should sound almost hysterical. Now, at the very end of it, yes.
It is preferable to listen to something that 130 decibels or lower, because above that you tend to put trauma to the eardrum.
Yeah. What? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? Because there's a contrast there in verse 6, although there's not two lines. Let everything that has, well, there is a second line, praise the Lord, but there's not an obvious parallelism, but there is a contrast. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That's in contrast to what? The inanimate instruments. The inanimate instruments can be used as means to praise the Lord, but the end of the psalm says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And we learn back in Psalm 148 what that means. That means angels, that means sea creatures, that means beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. He gives to everyone life and breath and everything. So this is a most fitting close to the Psalter. And here's what I'd like for us to do tonight. Steve, is Lucas still here, or is it you anyway? Okay. Lucas, would you do me a favor, behind the scenes there, pay no attention to that man behind the scenes. Lucas, will you turn on the ceiling mic, please? Now you have to watch your criticism. The ceiling mic is on. What I'm going to ask those of you who would, and I'd just be happy if it was every one of you, but I'm not going to embarrass any of you who doesn't want to read in public, but I'd like for each of you to take just a moment and think of either a favorite psalm or some section of a psalm. I'd like for each of you to read me a couple of verses from either your favorite psalm or verses that have stood out to you during the 150 plus weeks, plus all the extra weeks for Psalm 119 that we have studied from the Psalter. Perhaps some of you are going to just immediate old favorites. I have one that I'm going to, and I'm just going to call on the ones who are going to hold up their hand and let me know that they're willing to read.
How much?
Well, let's be reasonable. No, you can read a whole psalm if you want to. Not the 119. But sure you can read the whole psalm. Just keep thinking of favorite phrases from the psalms. And now that you're kind of ready, let's take your red hymnal and let's read together Psalm 1 on page 785. This is where we started so long ago. Page 785. Let's read responsively. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night.
He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers.
Not so the wicked.
Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous.
For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
This is the opening psalm. It talks about delighting in the law of the Lord. It talks about the one who does being like a tree planted by streams of water. It talks about how the wicked will not stand, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous, and it sets forth the two ways that people walk. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Everything between Psalm 1, which we started out with, and Psalm 150, which we're ending with tonight, is about these two ways. And for those of you who are Christians, some of the passages that you will read will be passages that are precious to you because they've ministered to you when you needed comfort, because this Psalter is all about struggle, isn't it? It's about pouring out our hearts to God. It's about crying out, "O Lord, how long?" It's about voicing our complaint to God about our enemies surrounding us. And this psalm is full of is not full of beautiful things per se. This Psalter is full of real life. This Psalter is full of real agony, but real triumph and real trust in God. So what we're going to do is hit some of your highlights between Psalm 1 and Psalm 150. So hold up your hand if you'd like to read. Smokey?
My favorite psalm is Psalm 100. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. And we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good, His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations.
Mary, you want to read?
Okay. That's right over here to this side.
This is from 145. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all He has made. All You have made will praise You, O Lord. Your saints will extol You. They will tell of the glory of Your kingdom and speak of Your might, so that all men may know of Your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of Your kingdom.
Psalm 29. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in His temple everyone says glory. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits in strength. The Lord will give strength to His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace.
Amen. There's that wonderful connection between the Lord's manifestation of His power in nature. And the great thing from that psalm is, of course, that He is the God of the storms. The literal storms, the physical storms, and the storms of your life. Steve?
Psalm 19, 7 through 10. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of honeycomb.
One of the great things of the Psalter is how sweet the Word of God is. It's a light to our path, a lamp to our feet.
I'm going to read one verse in 118. Okay. So give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever.
I'll give you another verse from 118. I shall not die but live, and recount the words of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me sore, and He has not delivered me over to death. I remember that one in the recovery room. Okay, yes, Mary.
Psalm 143, beginning at verse 10. Teach me to do Your will, for You are my God, and Your good spirit lead me on level ground.
For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring me out of trouble. In your unfailing love, silence my enemies. Destroy all my foes, for I am your servant.
There you get the recurring theme of the Lord doing something that benefits you for his name's sake, for the sake of his reputation. And that's the way the psalmist prays so often. Pardon my iniquity for thy name's sake, O Lord, for it is great.
My favorite psalm is...
I'm supposed to know? I don't even know
why. 5-8 and 16, okay? Lord, you have assigned me a portion of my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I trust the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken.
That was Psalm 16?
16, 5-8.
Okay. And Kevin?
Psalm 18, verses 1-3. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am safe from my enemies.
Psalm 27:4-8. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that shall I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock, and now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When thou didst say to me, seek my face, my heart said, thy face, O Lord, I do seek.
Mine is Psalm 16 also, and I won't read all of it. But preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
The recurring theme in this altar is the right path and the level path and the Lord leading and guiding you on the right path. Barbara.
Psalm 27. We'll read part of what Donald didn't write. The first verse. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? My last two verses. I am still confident in this. I will seek the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The ways of the Lord. Be strong and take heart.
Wait for the Lord, the theme of trust that's in the Psalter over and over again. Be strong, let your heart take courage, and wait for the Lord. He is faithful. He may not be coming immediately as you desire him to, and yet we wait for the Lord. Dave?
Psalm 31, I just read part of 1-5. I will excel thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, and hast not let my enemies rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cry to thee for help, and thou didst heal me. O Lord, I have brought up myself from Sheol. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. See, praise to the Lord, you his godly ones. Give thanks to his holy name, for his anger is but for a moment, his favors for a lifetime. Weeping may last for a night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning.
Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Patrick?
Psalm 23 is mine and six. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you go with me, you will rise in your staff and comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Rob Harrison.
Psalm 40, verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God, for your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered.
Mara? I'm sorry, Joe Crawley, excuse me.
Verse 9 of Psalm 119. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to thy word.
Amen. Point to the word again.
Psalm 108. This poem is wonderful. The passage that I really love is be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all, over all the earth. That your beloved ones may be delivered. Give salvation by your right hand and answer me. God has promised in his holiness. With exultation I will divide up Shechem and portion out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine. Manasseh is mine. Ephraim is my helmet. Judah my scepter. Moab is my wash basin. Upon Edom I cast my shoe. Over Philistia I shout in triumph.
Amen. Put your rock in there. Michael.
Psalm 15. O Lord, who may abide in thy tent? Who may dwell on thy holy hills? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. He does not put out his money at interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken.
It was the following for Psalm 23, but Pepsi got ahead of it.
Well.
Psalm 100.
Okay.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gate with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Amen. And the theme of both Psalms is we're the sheep of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. And so that is also a recurring theme in the Psalter about the Lord being our good shepherd. Bob?
I'll be really brief from 119.
Okay.
My word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you.
That is a verse everybody should memorize. That is one of the greatest safeguards against sin, to locate a verse about your particular sin, hide it in your heart. But another way that works is simply reading scripture that your whole life is so changed by scripture. But it informs you of who you really are in Christ, and that will help you in your struggle against sin to always remember who you are
And let's see. Jennifer?
Psalm 25.
Amen.
To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who has hope is in you will ever be put to shame, but they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then is the man that fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way chosen for him. He will spend his days in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have multiplied. Free me from my anguish. Look upon my affliction and my distress, and take away all my sins.
Amen. That's so many of the great things are there, and one of the things that you read is the recurring word Hesed, steadfast love, the mark of God's covenant faithfulness, his covenant loyalty that recurs over and over and so on. Jay?
Psalm 119, 97 through 104. Oh, how I love your law, it is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for the testimonies of my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Okay, Greg?
From 139, Lord, you have searched me out and made me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You trace my journeys and my resting places and are acquainted with all my ways. Indeed, there is not a word on my lips, but you, O Lord, know it all together. You press upon me behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, it is so high that I cannot attain to it. Where can I flee from your spirit? Where can I go from your presence? If I climb up to heaven, you are there. If I make the grave my bed, you are there also. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand hold me fast.
Hallelujah.
121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
From my father's tombstone. David?
Psalm 47. Oh, clap your hands, all your peoples. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. He will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob, whom he loves. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of the trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have gathered together, the people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted.
Psalm 16, verse 2. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing.
Amen.
That's true.
All right, so. Crazy
calling.
You can say it again. You can say it again. You probably have a different version anyway, too.
Go ahead and read some of them.
Sure.
At least some of my favorite.
Sure.
Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my pity, sound in my right and out. You understand my thoughts, far enough, comforted in my past and my lying down. And I've made this with all my ways, for there is not a word in my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You have hedged me behind and before.
That's the wonderful thing about these songs. We find ourselves in them. They're so personal to us. Over the years, they bring back so many memories. And they are so expressive that the Lord's care for us. All right, Sarah?
From Psalm 71. Even my accusers perish in shame, may those who once pardoned be covered in scorn and disgrace. But as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long, though I know not its measure. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, O sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day, I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, for I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come.
Amen. I love that part about even the old age and gray hairs. And the other thing I like is that we finally heard a little bit of an imprecatory song. We heard the cursing on God's enemies there. That's very much a part of the psalter. That's
UT.
Yeah, UT. Oh, that's actually a whole passage of imprecatory. It's not imprecatory. Yes, well.
Psalm 86, 11 to 13. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forevermore. For great is your mercy toward me, and you have delivered me, you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol.
That was the psalm that Chris Erickson was reading to his mother last week when she passed away. He was at her bedside, and as he read the last verse, she breathed the last and today to all. This is how we use the psalter. This is the another example of the incredible versatility of it. Dave Riegel?
Psalm 19, 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant born, and keeping them there is great reward.
Now, as everybody was reading, did somebody happen to think of another psalm that they
also wish they read or mentioned, or you thought and you said, oh, that's really my favorite one, didn't I think of that? Anybody have another reading? We can do one more. If there was one that's on your mind that didn't get read. Yes.
I thought it was a good implication. Yeah. Social and spiritual warfare, in fact. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let those also who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drives him away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice.
Amen.
Psalm 68.
Let's turn again in your hymnal to page 841. All of these psalms are different facets and aspects of our journey with the Lord. These psalms, for many centuries, described the Jewish life, and then when our Lord came into the world, people believed on his name and the church was formed, they began to describe the Christian life as well. But they speak to us personally. They are some of the most well-worn and well-thumbed parts of our Bibles because they describe to us what happens in our lives with the unvarnished truth and without any embroidery and any softening of the blows of life all the days of our life. And so we have all of these wonderful fragments of the Psalms that have spoken to all of us between Psalm 1, when we start out on the path of the righteous, and the psalm that we're about to read now on page 841. Praise the Lord.
Praise God, his Savior.
Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness.
Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre.
Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute.
Praise him with the flashing cymbals. Praise him with the sounding cymbals.
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever.
Amen.
Let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Father, how we do thank you for this wonderful, comforting, challenging, exciting, nourishing portion of your word. Thank you, Lord God, for what these psalms have meant to us in this congregation, as a congregation, and to us personally, as we have turned to them in times of need and sorrow, fear and anxiety, dread and pain. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that they have also been means by which we have praised you, as well as means by which we have repented and expressed our sorrow over our sins. We bless your name this night and thank you, Lord God, that you have so faithfully brought to a conclusion this wonderful study of your blessed word. And we pray, Lord God, that we would return to this great hymn book over and over again all the days of our lives and see over and over again how these psalms describe us and how they lead us out of our own sorrows and difficulties and cause us to behold you and to praise your blessed name and to invite all to praise your name with us. Tonight, Lord, we praise you for your mercy. We praise you, Lord God, for the progress that is going on the other side of the world in the battle for Baghdad. We thank you so much, Lord God, for the rescue of Jennifer Lynch. We rejoice, Lord God, with her family. We rejoice at other POWs that have been released. We weep, Lord God, with the families of those who were killed, and we pray that you would comfort their hearts and that their grieving parents and wives and loved ones might take refuge even from some of these very psalms that we have read tonight. And we pray, Lord God, that you would be with them and give them your peace. We lift up to you, Lord God, those who are absent from us tonight for whatever reason. We ask, Lord God, that you watch over them. Take care, we pray, of Matthew on his way back from Dallas tonight. Give your angels charge concerning him, we pray. And we lift up our requests and supplications to you this night.
God, I'm going to lift your servant, Chris Harrison, up to you in Mississippi, grieving over the death of his mother from last week. And I want to just pray that you will pour out so much grace upon him and comfort him at this very difficult time, and help him to take care of all the things he needs to take care of, and including his class at school. And I also pray that you'll help them financially during this time. In Jesus' name.
Our Father, we pray for Leslie Cruz tonight, who is sick and has requested prayer. I ask that you have mercy on her, dear Father. We lift up to you, Lord God, our lost loved ones. We lift up to you, Lord God, ones who are dear to us, who would not find the joy, delight, or comfort that we have found in studying these psalms, and who would not see themselves in these great songs of praise and lament and prayer. And so we pray, Lord God, that you would open their hearts. Lord, this is just another wonderful experience that we cannot completely share with them. And we pray that you would continue to move on their hearts, teach them the truth of the gospel. We pray, Lord God, that you would save them. Lord, tonight I want to thank you for the simple fact that the King James Version of the 23rd Psalm is simply so well known by so many people, many who have hardly ever opened the Bible. Thank you, Lord God, for this wonderful psalm that deeply and movingly tells us of your character is so well known and so well remembered that those at gravesides, where it is so often printed, are familiar with it. And those who know no other song remember it as death draws near. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would continue to use this psalm, as you do all portions of your word, to bless, encourage, and strengthen your people, and also as a means of evangelism to bring unbelievers to yourself. Thank you that our autobiographies are in this book. We thank you that it describes us and seems to know us so well and expresses to you what we so often cannot express. We lift up to you all of our unspoken requests tonight, all of our needs about which you alone know, and ask that you show us mercy. We ask, Lord God, that in this war with Iraq, in the treatment of the Iraqi citizens who are not guilty of wrongdoing against us, in the wisdom that you give to our president and to all who are in charge, in this part of your plan, in this nation of ours, in the church that your son is building so that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and in your vast plan that involves the bringing in of your kingdom and salvation for the full number of your elect. In all these things tonight, may your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.